Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, the number one alien podcast.
You thought it was that guy with the meme that just goes aliens with the hair? No, it's us.
Mm-hmm.
We do it. We do it right.
I spilled the beans early there. The beans have been spilt. This episode's going to be talking about our favorite movies that have aliens in them. Not necessarily any kind of Ridley Scott properties. If they've got any kind of extraterrestrial elements, they were fair game. Obviously, this was a monumental, impossible task because when I started looking at these things, I don't know if you guys had the same experience.
There's far too many.
Wow, so many. And there are drastically different kinds of films. So it's almost like comparing them is a little silly. So we're going to be talking about our top three favorite extraterrestrial adjacent films. I don't have a quick buzzword way to say it. Damn it. Because if I say alien, it's like, well, that's the movie. You're kind of fucking me up here, Ridley.
I'm more of a Prometheus guy.
So that's what we're going to be going today. You can email the show at any time by writing into streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's streamingthingspod@gmail.com. We would like you to do that specifically because we're trying to kick around the old, what's the word? Not the bucket. That'd be terrible.
The
hacky
can?
Sack. Kick around the old hacky sack. Yeah, as the saying, as the idiom goes.
Yeah, we're about to sack some hackies.
What we're trying to do is find out what other Patreon tiers you folks might be interested in. What other kind of benefits and rewards might entice you or might be fun. And so, because we're going to create an expanded Patreon page soon, but we're like, what would people want? What would people want?
What would Brian Boitano do?
Yeah.
Yeah, if he were here right now. let us in, even if you're not even a patron and you were like, hey, if you guys offered this, I would be smitten. You would have my attention. You would have my $3. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah. We're just looking for ideas. We had some ideas of our own, but we were kind of thinking like, is that right for our listeners? And so we're throwing it to you. What interests you?
Yeah. Cause we build, this whole platform that we think would be fun for people to sign up for. And then you're like, I'm not even interested in that, whatever that might be. That's not good. So just give us some feedback on, hey, we'd like this would be kind of a fun option. You know, I'd buy that for a dollar to quote RoboCop, right?
Yeah.
So any hoozle, that's something that we're doing. Also real quick, this might seem silly. There's an app called Q U.
Bear with us. It's not what you think.
Yeah, no.
Jesus Christ, they need to change that name.
Q-U-E-U-E, as in a line, right? Another, a synonym for line. And what it does is it tracks the things that you're looking forward to watching, both TV shows and films. And it's a lot like Letterboxd, sure, but it has TV shows on it. So I recently joined the Q platform, and I have been in talks with the Q folks. Q-U-E-U-E, I must say.
you're skirting so close to the line of like, on the latest Q drop, Q said.
No. And I'm actually a verified user on Q. Like, I have the blue check mark.
You got a blue check mark?
Q, the TV and film app. So if you could sign up for that, and by the way, it's for iOS only right now. So it's Apple users only. But if you sign up for Q, or maybe you're already on it, just follow me at Movies Are Therapy, just like Twitter and TikTok. I will enter you into a contest that we're having where the winner, randomly drawn from the people that follow me and listen to this show, will get to force us to watch a movie, and we'll do an entire episode deep diving that film. And I know we do a lot of stuff like that, but it's just something fun. I'm trying to build a platform on Q because it's a newer thing, and I think that could be fun.
You could have the power that dictates what we watch. Just you, no poll, no suggestions.
Yeah, no democracy.
Your will, and we must bow to it.
Bow, you shits.
How can they send that in? Is that, did you say that? How they can send them proof that they followed you?
Sure. You can, maybe screenshot it. Tell me your username, whatever. Just send it into the email, streamingthingspod@gmail.com. And I will know
and
that you've done
Q
it.
Q in the subject line. Q U.
Yes. Subject line. Q-U-E-U-E. Should we do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
We don't want just the letter Q.
No. So, yeah, that is important. In the subject line, you have to spell out the word Q. Yes. How do you spell it, Andy?
Q-U-E-U-E.
It sounds like you're saying ewy after you say Q-U. So that's a good heuristic to remember that. So that's something that we're doing. But again, also Patreon tiers that you might be interested in, or rewards or benefits that might be fun because we're trying to build on that. Andy, where can they find you on Twitter if they want to tweet at you?
They can find me at Andy Most Days.
And I'm at Steve May 13.
And you can tweet the show at Stream Thing Pod. That's at Stream Thing Pod. Streaming Things was taken. And Streaming Things Pod was too long. So it's at Stream Thing Pod. Well, then that brings us to the what you're all really here for, our daily Mad Lib dose that we're going to give you here. Steve, what have you been cooking up for us, buddy?
Well, as you all know, we have a new Mad Libs book. It is an 80s themed Mad Libs. And I couldn't find an alien themed one. So I thought, hey, I'll use this one that could be kind of Indiana Jones themed. The bonus episode you can find on Patreon right now if you sign up at the $5 or more tier. Always be plugging. And this Mad Libs is titled Cool Whips.
Oh,
nice.
You get it? Because he has a whip. Indiana Jones has a whip.
Yeah, and it's also an allusion to one of my favorite snacks.
Yeah.
The whipped cream knockoff Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. A little bit of that cool on whip. Some angel food cake. You know what I'm saying?
And strawberries.
Strawberries.
Yes. Let's get that after we get done recording.
That's my favorite cake.
You crumble some whipped bars on it. I get it for my birthday.
Like straight up strawberry shortcake with cool, with whipped cream. Yeah.
Angel food cake is also
so good.
Okay, so here we go. Let's get the words to put the pen to the paper and make a story called Cool Whips. You guys ready?
Yes.
Andy is now.
First up, I need a noun.
Karate.
Look at the nouns on that guy.
Dude, he's got huge nouns. Look at the nouns on him. Wow. Number?
3.
Animal.
Aardvark.
Celebrity.
Cameron Diaz.
OCD?
OCD.
I need a vehicle.
Punch buggy.
Noun.
Beer.
I need another noun.
Daffodil.
Vehicle.
Train.
Letter of the alphabet.
W.
Noun.
Carcinogens.
Verb.
Inoculate.
Animal.
Kangaroo.
Noun.
Interloper.
Noun.
Persecution.
Adjective.
Plump.
Plump.
Noun.
Goes with plump.
I know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
I know what you're getting. Philosophy.
Yeah. Noun.
Tater.
I thought you were going to say cake.
What's taters, Francis?
What's taters?
Potatoes. Vehicle is the last word I need.
What a weird Mad Lib. There was one adjective.
Yeah.
Another vehicle. Hot air balloon.
All right, let's find out how hot air balloon fits into the story about Cool Whips at the end of this episode.
Stay tuned. Cannot wait.
And the plump philosophy.
That philosophy is so plump.
Mm-hmm. Look at the philosophy on that guy.
Mm. Hanging a little.
We're looking left. At Sigmund Freud.
He must work out. He was a psychologist.
Yep.
So that brings us to our coverage on some of our favorite alien movies. This one was tough. So what we're going to do is we're going to go from 3 to 1, a little bit of a weird style there. Get it? Because everybody does that. And then we'll probably have some outliers and just overall talk. We're talking about this, by the way, because we just reviewed Monday a couple of days. Monday. We just reviewed Monday.
It's pretty shit day of the week,
Not a fan.
I gotta go back.
We're doing our top three favorite days on streaming things. Number three, I got to go with Monday at the bottom.
Because there's only 3 days to rate. Monday, Friday, and Saturday. We all know this.
That's how it actually feels in my life. It's like four Mondays. Anywhoozle, on Monday, we just reviewed Nope with our wonderful guest, Sydney. She was a blast. I love talking to her.
Yep.
Great person. So we thought, hey, let's keep the Nope theme. And we couldn't think of anything Nopey. So we came up with something alien-y, right? And so that's what brought us to this. Let's start with Andy. Andy's been working hard on this. What is your number three of all of the hundreds of alien tangential movies?
Okay, so these three movies are near and dear to my heart. And it's impossible to put them in any kind of order that is indicative of their quality or what they mean to me. But the first one that I want to talk about, because it's the one that I've watched, I think, the most recently, is Denis Villeneuve's 2016 epic Arrival.
Such hot a good movie. Damn. Coming out of the gate hot, Andy.
Dude. So it's not what you think when you think alien movie. Like, oh yeah, an alien movie. Obviously, we're going to spend 9/10 of the film trying to derive their syntax and learn their language so we can better communicate with them. And that really is almost all of the film. It's just watching Amy Adams in her little suit miming shit at a big blob, or not big blob, a big tentacle that graffitis some stuff on the piece of glass. And oh my God, it's fucking riveting. It is so interesting. And a lot of times movies like this where they try to dangle their philosophy, if you will, it falls flat in the end. And this movie really, really doesn't. It's often these types of high concept, call them, I don't know, elitist sci-fi films, when they try to impress their morals on you at the end, it fails. I'm looking at like Interstellar, you know, that movie really kind of falls flat for me.
But Andy, love is the key.
At the end of the third act.
Love is the key.
Andy. Yeah. But this movie really doesn't. And Amy Adams is absolutely fucking riveting. It also has Jeremy Renner, who is fantastic in it. And there's like they deal a lot with the politics of what first contact would be in real life. And at the whole, the science that they approach the concept with is just fascinating and brilliant. And it's so interesting to me because the writer of this film is not somebody that you've been like, oh my God, like the guy that wrote Arrival, he must have wrote some awesome stuff. He did like Final Destination 5.
Classic.
The best of the bunch.
Yeah, totally.
I really want to revisit the first Final Destination, by the way.
Dude, it actually holds up. It really does.
You watched it recently?
Yeah. Well, recent is with air quotes, but yeah. I watched it within the last 5 years, and yeah, honestly, I had a pretty good time with it. But the dude, he also wrote like the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street from 2010 and,
with Jackie O'Haley.
Yeah. Who crushed it. I feel like the makeup didn't do him any favors, but
no.
I think that Arrival's great. I mean, we all love this movie, right?
Absolutely. It's one of, it's quickly becoming one of the best movies of the last couple of decades. Since it's come out, I think people have learned to appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. When you first said Arrival, I thought you were talking about the Charlie Sheen alien movie.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Has anyone else seen that? I've other seen than that me
with the aliens that their legs like,
yeah, they do the leggy bendy backy thingies.
It's the best way to describe it.
Did you just laugh, Steve? One star.
Fuck. Get your shit together.
That was a phenomenal choice, and I had complete faith someone else would pick it.
Yeah.
And I was right. Steve, what was your number three? I know you're a big alien guy.
I am a big alien guy. This comes from a place of love of sci-fi and love of a personal phobia of mine.
You love that phobia.
I do love that phobia.
How does one get a phobia of something they've never encountered?
Are you a phobophiliac?
Well, Chris, that would imply that I've never encountered aliens before.
You're about to drop a big tinfoil hat bomb on us. So follow me on cue.
It's really the lizard people. They're controlling everyone's minds. When I was younger, gosh, how old was I? I had to have been like
29.
Yeah, I had to be at least 30. When I was like 9, 10, I remember we moved to this new house and my mom got this like, remember those, you'd have to have like a satellite dish to get cable. My mom had a ridiculously large satellite dish. It was comically huge. It like sat in the backyard. It was,
look at the satellite dish on Steve's mom.
And you had to, the control was like a blue screen with white text that was like channel 800,000.
Yeah. I think Andy, did you have satellite TV for a minute? I swear you did.
Adam got it for his bedroom. Like when he was like 16 or 17 was like, I don't fuck with cable. I'm going to go with dish.
Yeah. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
In the scheme of technology. Well,
that's why my mom, I found out years later, the reason why she got that satellite dish was she paid, like, because our house was like pretty far off away from the road. So she paid for this cabling to run all the way to the house, right? And she paid a lot of money so she could have this cable. Dude came out to install it and he was like, you bought the wrong type of cable. It's supposed to be this type. It's like, well, this is the type you told me to buy. He's like, nah, I didn't.
Wow.
And so instead of buying for a new cable, she was like, fuck those guys, and just got a satellite.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
But anyway, we had the satellite, and I remember it was over the summer, no school. I'm staying up way later than I should, right? Everyone's gone to bed. I'm the only one awake. And I stumble upon it was some type of like late night sci-fi quote-unquote documentary about the Roswell Area 51 incident. And I forget what it's called, but this footage is called something specific. It's like, it's fairly famous, but it's a supposed autopsy of the aliens that crashed in Roswell, right? Right. And it's, I think, a proven fake. It's not real, but it looks very convincing. Like, and imagine like being a really young kid watching any type of autopsy, grainy black and white footage. That's horrifying, right? So watching an alien one, for whatever reason, that instilled this incredible fear in me, specifically of like little gray aliens. It just horrifies the shit out of me. Like, I don't know why. It's just like, I see him and I'm instantly like,
were you a big fan of the X-Files as a tot?
I did not watch X-Files because I knew they were there and I did not want to be scared.
They were scary as fuck.
I have since gone back and watched X-Files on Netflix, and I had to stop because I would get angry because every episode would be, Scully would run into an alien, and then at the end of the episode it's like, well, did I really? It's like, bitch, there were 50 of them and they touched you everywhere and you were fully cognizant and it was in broad daylight. Stop it.
She's a skeptic.
At what point? At what cost, Chris? And it was just driving mad because Mulder's like, god damn, I really wish I could get an alien to fill me up.
No, he's like, damn, again. Because it happened to him.
But, and I'll go into this later when I'm more appropriate for my number one, but I have some stories to tell you, but I'll circle back. Okay. But that's where my fear of aliens comes from. And it's sci-fi and I love all that shit. And this is a long road to get to the point that my number three is Independence Day.
Okay.
Independence Day is a kick-ass movie, right?
Yes.
Can we all agree on
that? It is.
When you talk about an alien invasion specifically type of movie, this is the model that all movies should hope to aspire to be. Because you've got a huge cast, international, all around the world. You get to see, you know, all these smaller stories kind of told within a much larger story. You get the really cool special effects that were groundbreaking at the time. You get really fun performances from Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum. We're going to give the virus a cold. we're going to give the aliens a cold. And it's just so fun to watch. And to this day, like even on like 4th of July, I'm always half tempted to just turn on Independence Day just to hear Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech at the end of that movie.
We will not go quietly into the night.
We will not finish without a fight.
No, that's from Interstellar.
I'm trying to remember Bill Pullman's brother, I think, or son was just in a movie that we all watched, or at least was making the rounds that I watched. and I can't fucking find out what his name is or anything. And it's really not relevant enough, but that's what I was doing. I was freaking out.
I saw you clickety clacking on your phone.
I was furiously trying to find where Bill Pullman's family member was recently on the big screen.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he wasn't in.
That's a classic choice, though. I loved Independence Day. I watched it many, many times. And, you know, I was a huge Will Smith fan. I watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air religiously. I loved Men in Black. I've said that many times. And Independence Day as well. Like, I was known to Wild Wild West from
Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West.
Occasionally. Mm-hmm. I was known to do that.
Dude, I was such a massive fan of Independence Day. And I got so many flashbacks as you started to talk about it, because I hadn't thought about that movie. It's weird. It was such a culturally relevant thing. And I have not thought about that movie in so long. And like, I just had this vivid memory of buying a birthday present for a neighbor kid named Jeremy up the street. God, I had to have been a child. And the Independence Day action figures came with a floppy disk for a PC game where you could...
I remember that.
You could play some super crummy tie-in Independence Day game thing. And dude, we had such a fucking blast playing this game. We're like, oh my fucking God, we get to play a computer game too. Dude, it was the best. But like... That we were talking about Men in Black recently, and like the cultural relevance of
he was one of my favorite childhood movies.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is about Will Smith and aliens, man, but something just clicks.
I just like how he welcomes them to Earth. I think that's why it's so good to have him in an alien film, because you need someone to kind of be like, hey, welcome to Earth.
After he punches them.
Yeah, he is that. Woo! I've got to get me one of these.
Yeah, when he first flies the UFO. Absolutely. And everybody agreed.
There's so many good people in that movie. Like we mentioned Will Smith, Bill Pullman, Jeff Goldblum. But I mean, there's also like fucking Judd Hirsch is in this. We get a Randy Quaid sighting.
Randy Quaid, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot he was in the fuck, dude. Oh my God, I forgot so much about this movie.
Vivica A. Fox, can't forget her. Mm. And for all my Star Trek fans out there, we got Brent Spiner's in there.
All six of them.
There's dozens of us. For all my Firefly Serenity fans out there, Adam Baldwin's in this.
I was going to say Nathan Fillion's not in that, is he?
No, Adam Baldwin is Jane from Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
The man they call Jane.
The man called Jane.
Is he the one that was in Chuck?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I like him.
I met him once.
Oh, cool.
I was a nervous wreck.
did he have a gun?
Probably.
Because Aerosmith said he had one.
He's the type of dude.
Oh,
sorry.
Boo. Chris, you're number three?
My number three.
Baldwin's got a gun.
That's how the song goes. My number three is The Fifth Element.
Ooh.
Lots of aliens.
Corbin Dallas, multipass.
I loved this movie more than I can say. I also watched Heavy Metal, the weird anime, a lot.
Hell yeah, my guy.
And it's, I feel like this inspired Luc Besson when he wrote the Fifth Element. I'm not sure, but it's got Bruce Willis. It's got Mila Jovovich, Gary Oldman, Ian Holm, who I'd forgotten was in this film.
Love Ian Holm.
Chris Tucker's in it, of course. Even Luke Perry, damn it. And Brian James, who I feel like was in a bunch of like, I feel like he's in Blade Runner for sure. He's just got that face. He was just in everything back then. A bunch of like Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. You just have to look him up. Look at the face. Oh, and Tom Lister Jr. plays Debo in Friday. I was obsessed with the aesthetic of The Fifth Element when I was a kid. Like the whole...
Brian James was in Blade Runner.
Yeah, you see? I saw that first.
He's the dude that fails the replicant test in the very beginning. He's like, why is the turtle on its back?
Damn it. I'm a face genius.
You are.
I'm a face genius.
That's pretty good.
But you know how you see a face sometimes and you're like you do the Leonardo DiCaprio thing. But yeah, I was obsessed with this movie and the whole idea of Bruce Willis as this like space cabbie. And I'll never forget the opera scene with the
blue lady,
the bright blue lady alien who's like beautiful, but obviously very extraterrestrial, right? Like she's terrestrial, but there's a lot of extra there, but I'm still like into it. And then the sad thing happens, right? Like that's embedded in my memory, like with her like getting shot in the stomach, and it's a whole thing. And I Do I even need to say how obsessed with Mila Jovovich I was in my adolescence?
Everybody.
Like,
you might need to elaborate.
Like, oh my goodness. Multipass.
Dennis, Multipass.
Love that movie. Want to watch it again soon.
Gary Oldman's the villain in that, right?
He is.
He's like got that.
He's
weird
got the like plastic head cover thing. He was always out there. I mean, you got, this is right after True Romance, The Professional, Leon the Professional, and then this. And he was just really off the wall and all of that stuff.
And Rosencrantz and Guildenstern at some point.
Oh yeah. We watched that in high school, AP amazing. English. Yeah. It was so good times. It was good times. So yeah, that's my number three. And again, there was a good 20 that could have justifiably been in the top three just off the top of my head, but I wanted to give some shout outs to Fifth Element because I didn't think anybody else would pick it. And that's my number three. Andy, what is your number two?
So my number two is the Alien movie that I've probably seen the most, and it's probably the closest thing to a cheat that I have, but it is absolutely an Alien movie, and that movie is Cloverfield.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say something else.
I'm so glad you said that. Cloverfield's dope.
Cloverfield fucking rocks. It is the best found footage movie ever made.
Yes,
by a mile.
You were gonna say another one.
Oh, okay. We're like 10 Cloverfield Lane? Or?
Well, I don't want to give you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In case it's on someone's list. But.
Sure, sure. So Cloverfield is a story about, it's a guy who is moving away. He's moving to Japan, I think
so, yeah.
And he has like this unrequited love with this girl for a really long time. They had a small fling for a moment, and then he got a new job and he had to leave. And so like they both have feelings for each other still. And it's told beautifully because the whole conceit of the film is that there's a going away party for this guy. One of the fuck up friends that is attending the party is asked to film the events.
Played by known fuck up TJ Miller.
Yes. So perfectly cast.
Oh, that was TJ Miller?
Yeah, dude.
He plays HUD.
I didn't know him.
Do you
at
love
the time.
How the character who is the camera is named HUD?
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. He is tasked with filming this going away party, and he's really, really bad at it. And he periodically films the wrong things. So there's lots of really fun found footage tricks that they do where it's like you hit record when you thought you were stopping the recording. And it's like, you did a great job after the important part was missed. And then it will cease recording and then cut to the tape that he's taping over, which was like the one great day that the protagonist had with this girl before everything went to shit. And there's just so many brilliant little touches, and it's a horror film in a lot of ways. It's a kaiju film in a lot of ways. And they treat the monster like Jaws, and it's brilliant. You barely ever see things that happen. There's just so many beautiful cinema tricks. And I know that, like any found footage film, you know, if you get like motion sickness easy, this film's not going to be for you. But like, it is just captivating from start to finish. And I watch it like twice a year, probably. Like, this movie is just so interesting to me and so well done. And it spawned a pretty wonderful, like, larger universe, like 10 Cloverfield Lane. I know Chris likes that movie way more than the original Cloverfield. And it is a great film of its own, right?
Great.
And I almost put it on this list too, but I was like, I had to be true to myself and be like, the actual Cloverfield is just, it's just.
Did either of you watch the Cloverfield Paradox?
I did. It was really cool because they like stealth dropped it in the middle of the Super Bowl or something. It was such a cool trick where they paid massive money to get a Super Bowl ad. And they're like, by the way, available right now. It's like, it will be available as soon as the Super Bowl's over. And I was like, oh fuck, well, I'm going to stay up and watch that. It kind of sucked, but
I heard it's terrible. I never watched it.
It's not great.
Yeah. But the first two are really, really good.
10 Cloverfield Lane is amazing, but I don't know, like the alien aspect of it is not what the main tension of that story
right.
is.
Right. It's just like, it's a fun backdrop. Twist. I think the script had nothing to do with Cloverfield, and they just, to get funding, put Made Cloverfield it. In the title.
Yeah. But no, the first Cloverfield is honest to God amazing. The scene in the subway where they go into the subway to hide from the big kaiju monster, but that kaiju monster has like lice, but kaiju's lice is the size of like a St. Bernard.
Yeah, dude.
And that's honestly one of the most horrifying horror scenes in the last couple decades. Like, I love that scene.
Lizzie Kaplan, her sequence in that.
I was just about to say, this movie introduced me to Lizzie Kaplan, who I fucking adore. I love her so much. It also introduced me to Matt Reeves, the director, who has since gone on to make some amazing films like the Planet of the Apes movies and the most recent Batman.
And Let Me In,
yes.
Which I think was before Cloverfield, wasn't it?
I believe so,
2011
yeah.
or so.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, no, I feel like Cloverfield was, yeah, that was 2008.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Good year.
It's a long time ago.
2008 was a stellar year for movies.
It's not great for the economy in America. Mm.
But for movies,
some things went down.
Yeah.
Mainly the housing market.
Steve, by the way, you should watch the movie. There's a movie about it. Steve, what's your number two?
My number two is kind of an opposite in terms of all the other alien movies we've discussed, but it's maybe the most basic choice, I think. But I have to put it on because it's a very seminal movie for me. And that is E.T., Steven Spielberg's E.T., at one point the highest grossing movie of all time. It's no longer that, but for a while it was. But this movie, I love it so much. So this was my favorite movie as a little kid. Like, I legit 100% wore out the VHS tape we had at home because I would watch it, just rewind it, watch it again. My mom wouldn't even have to check in on me. She'd be like, "You still watching E.T.? Dope." And I'd be like, I would run into the kitchen whenever there is a scene where he discovers E.T. in the cornfield, because that shit's horrifying.
It is.
But then the rest of the movie is so lovely. Like, oh, he likes Reese's Pieces. I love Reese's Pieces. Oh my God, he's playing with the Yoda action figure. I have a Yoda action figure. He's just like me, but like, he looks like a weird pig thing. And honestly, I think E.T. has my favorite John Williams score ever. That might be a hot take.
That's probably a hot take.
That is definitely a hot take.
Literally the last, I think, maybe 10 minutes of this movie has almost zero dialogue. It's just set to John Williams.
Isn't it fucking insane that one man is responsible for like 90% of the memorable movie scores?
It is
in existence.
He's literally like a god amongst men.
Like, everybody gets happy when they hear that.
The Jaws theme.
Never heard it.
Well, it's good.
Who has gotten a bath and not mimed the Jaws theme ever? To this day, I can't make it through a whole bath without doing that. My wife's trying to pour the cup of water over my head. She's like, "Quit.
Stop it. Stop it. You're still a little shark."
Dude, I haven't taken a bath in like 20 years.
I highly recommend a bath for you, sir.
Baths are great, man.
It's relaxing.
Baths are great. You get some lavender
soap. Hot tub's pretty close.
A little Epsom salts.
Yeah, Epsom salts.
You guys
put on a podcast and just light a candle. And
I can't handle the sexiness that's going down right now. Epsom salts and candles.
There is a photo of me. Maybe I'll put it on the Patreon. In a bubble bath in Florida, and it's hilarious and awesome.
Oh, I've seen this picture. And it's black and white, too.
But Steve, go on about E.T.
Salacious.
It is.
But the last 10 minutes of E.T. has no dialogue. It's just Sean Williams' score, and I cry every fucking time.
Yes.
Like, this, because it's like when the bikes lift off and the music heightens, and then he phones home, and home comes back.
They're phoning home.
And then they hug, and then he's like,
and then you have cell phones then.
Be right here, and points to his goddamn heart, and then his heart's glowing because he's so full of love, goddamn it. And then he waddles up to his little friend who's sitting at the top of the ramp, who can't go down and greet him like a polite person.
Well, in their homeland, that's not a thing.
That's true. And then when he's like sick and dying, you're so sad, and just the connection between this puppet. You know, it's E.T.'s a puppet. It's not even really I guess there is a little person in the suit, but then there's also puppeteering going on. But there's
you're just puppet. Ruining the magic for me right now.
I hate it.
These little kids are interacting with this little puppet, and it's so convincing. You really feel the connection that E.T. he and Elliot have.
Took Reese's Pieces home to his home planet and was like, "These are fucking fire."
Oh my God, we have to go back. We got to get more Reese Piece
peanut butter.
Did you know that like originally it was supposed to be M&Ms were supposed to be the candy?
Yeah.
M&Ms. It's like, that's a weird ass idea. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And then Reese's Pieces became the biggest fucking candy of all time. Yeah. And M&Ms like, oh shit.
That was like that was like the Pete Best of candy.
The original drummer for the Beatles.
Oh,
sorry.
I knew he was a music person, but my mind went to NSYNC for some reason.
Same thing.
There's one dude named Pete. He's like, could have been fucking me. Bye.
Justin Timberlake should have been Pete Best.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake replaced Pete Best.
It could have been me.
Nice.
Bye.
Oh, so many good NSYNC puns.
But Chris, your number two?
My number two, this is going to sound lame to the uninitiated, perhaps, because they're like, out of all the Alien movies you could have chosen, you picked...
My favorite Martian?
You picked a Tom Cruise action film.
Dude, I almost put this on my list.
Yes.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Is one of my favorite action films of all time. It is also an alien film because they're fighting aliens. I adore this movie. This is one of those movies that I watch every 6 months or so. And it is one that is endlessly entertaining each and every time. Like there's, I don't know, maybe 100 movies out of the 3,000 I've seen that I have to finish once I start. And it's a pleasure every damn time. And they're the reason I haven't seen more movies, because I'm like, oh, I'm watching Edge of Tomorrow for the 19th time. That's why I haven't seen Once Upon a Time in the West. I just think it's so well done. Such a toit script, as they say in Ireland. And I don't know where that came from. But Emily Blunt, I think, was unknown to me at the time of watching this movie for the first time. That's probably not usual. I don't know where else I would have known her or should have known her, but this is where she was fully on my radar. I think the fact that we don't get more of Emily Blunt's character holding that giant anime sword.
Oh, I want sweet. The prequel so fucking
right?
badly.
It drives me insane. I want her story so badly.
Yes, please.
I don't know if it's been too long to get the sequel now, but... Anywho,
she doesn't age, so it's cool.
What I mean, I just mean like
Devil Wears Prada is probably her breakout.
She's in that movie.
Oh, that's right. She's like the underling that's kind of the antagonist to.
I'm a big fan of Devil Hathaway's Wears Prada
character, right? That's who she plays, right?
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, and she was Looper 5 years. Do you? Yeah,
she was in Looper.
Yeah.
God, I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Long time. Looper. She played. Oh fuck. She was like the mom of the kid that. Bruce Willis is out there to kill.
Oh, okay.
That's due for a rewatch, by the way. Looper. That's a damn good script as well.
I haven't seen that in a hot minute.
So I'm going to have to go with Edge of Tomorrow. You might know it as Live, Die, Repeat, and you would be, that would be no fault of yours if that's how you know that film.
Or All You Need Is Kill.
Indeed. Good title.
It's a great movie. I think All You Need Is Kill is a pretty great title.
Oh, All You Need Is Kill.
But with machine guns.
Yeah, right. Ratatata.
Give me another take. That's the one. We got it.
I don't know what's going on, but I went with it. Andy.
Yes.
What is your number one alien film that you put on this list?
Well, I'm so glad that I saved this for last, because we can continue our Bluntgasm. My number one that I put on this list is A Quiet Place.
Nice.
It's a good one.
Starring Emily
Blunt. These are aliens.
They
sure are. They're aliens that have super duper duper good hearing. And no eyes.
Don't go down that road.
So written, directed by John Krasinski, starring Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. And it is this. The reason that I saved this for number one is because it's incredible to me when a movie in some small way changes my cinematic experience for me, like changes the way that I think about movies. And, you know, like most times when you see a movie, it's because you see it because you in the theaters, because you want to see it first and you want the cinematic experience, the communal experience. You want to laugh along with people. But this is the first film ever where it's like, let's all be quiet together. And it's like, and you always feel weird when you're in a movie and it's quiet and you're trying not to like chew loud. You wait until there's noisy stuff happening to open your popcorn. But it's like, I sat there with a large popcorn on my lap and didn't take a bite for the whole fucking film because it's so quiet the whole time. And you're just the experience of being in a packed theater where everybody is just like, you shut the fuck up for A Quiet Place. We're in The Quiet Place, you guys. It was incredible. And the movie was so fucking good. And such, talk about a tight script. It was fucking geniusly written. It was beautifully directed. Like it tears your fucking heart out from the beginning and then it doesn't let go from there. It's like a horror alien film that like has more heart and I think like smart writing than pretty much any other sci-fi film that I can think of in the last, I don't know, 10 years longer. It's just genius. And then we got part two, and that was maybe not quite as good, but damn near. And it's just blows my mind that like,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The concept of shut the fuck up in a movie theater had never been like gamified in that way before. And I'll never, ever forget the experience of watching that movie in the theater. And I've watched it at home since, and it's great for the movie that it is, which is a fucking phenomenal movie. But for the experience that I had in the theater, and for it also to be that as great of a film as it was, like, it has to be a top spot for me, even if like I don't go back to it nearly as often as I do like Cloverfield or Arrival. But that's not true. I've probably watched it more than Arrival, but it's, yeah, man, that movie fucking rocks.
It's a phenomenal film. Huge fan.
100%.
Hondo. Mr. Steve, follow that up. What is your number one?
Well, it's no surprise if you listen to the show long enough that my number one is a little movie called Signs, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix. There's a Culkin in there.
Which Culkin?
Right? Isn't the boy a Culkin brother?
It's not Kieran, is it?
I don't think so. Is it
like the third Culkin?
No, Abigail Breslin, I think, is the little daughter.
Yeah, dude. It's Rory Culkin.
Rory, that's right.
Okay. I love this movie so much. It is my favorite horror film. It scares the bejesus out of me. Again, following that plot line I kind of told you guys before about, you know, discovering this autopsy video and just immediately being scared of aliens. So fast forward to 2002 when this movie comes out. You know, I'm in high school. I see this movie. Oh my God, this is all of my fears all at once. They kind of look like little grays, but they're like human size. They're not like tiny. They're like our size. So it's like, that's even worse.
They're average grays.
Oh my God. And they're stalking this family in the middle of, who have like this cornfield. And I remember there's that shot where Mel Gibson's talking to his daughter and they looked out the window and one's just standing in the darkness on his roof, just staring at them, watching them. And that messed me up so much. Like, we had a little dog and I could not take my little dog out at night because I was just so afraid to turn around and look at the roof. And I knew there was going to be an alien on my roof. It scared the shit out of me. And this movie does so many great things with subtle horror. Like, there's the scene where the alien's locked in the pantry and you see the shadow underneath the doorway of it pacing. And then as soon as Mel Gibson's like, oh, we're the police, like, he tries to pretend like he's not scared. But as soon as he talks, that shadow just becomes, poop, it's yeah. just still. And it,
little things that work so well.
Knowing that it recognizes that he's back, he's behind that door. And it's just like your mind races. Like, what is that thing thinking? It's like, I want to murder the shit out of that guy.
And there's some like heartwarming comedy in it too, though, that I often forget that works so well.
Yeah. The story,
like when they're
really
wearing
good.
Like the tinfoil hats and stuff. It's so cute.
Yeah.
And his
Famino's children like that.
And Joaquin Phoenix's whole character is like this lovable fuck up. And,
He was a baseball player or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this movie in a long time, Steve. What do you think of the criticism I read earlier today? Is a really renowned critic that I adore, like, his writing's brilliant, and he was like, Signs is like literally one of the best movies ever made. Like, literally, it was phenomenal. Everything's perfect until the point where it's there's 20 minutes left. Like, he's like, 85% of this movie is the best movie ever made.
Is that when they think the aliens left, but then there's one left?
I don't know what he meant by that. I just thought, that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen it in so long. What do you think by that?
I think that's a fair criticism, because, like, oh, why would the aliens invade a planet made of like 90% water?
If, oh, that's if water what he kills said.
Them,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that they supposedly eat people, like they drug them and they, like, it's implied that they're consuming the humans. Why would you consume something water. That's made of water? Right. And I think that's a completely fair criticism, but I do think that
they dry us out like jerky.
Ooh, maybe that's what they do. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. See, this takes a little bit of mental gymnastics.
I still think the overall script for the movie is so well done. And the suspense, like the whole, when they board the house up and they're trying, the aliens are trying to get in to get them. And there's that whole scene where they eventually get into the basement, and the writing is so well, where they set up how they get away with everything. They set up like, oh, the little girl doesn't drink all of her water because there's microbes, so those are just always left around the house. And Joaquin Phoenix's character is a failed baseball player who always had to swing, you know, and the little boy has asthma, so the poison doesn't get in all the way. And then the whole point of the story is about as Mel Gibson's crisis with faith, because he used to be a preacher who mm-hmm. no longer believes because his wife died in a car accident. All these things are kind of led to believe like these are divine. Everything happened so perfectly so that this family would make it out of this catastrophe perfectly fine. And I think it's written so well. It's directed so well. It's like one of the last movies that M. Night made where it was like hit. And I think that criticism is fair, but I don't really, it doesn't take away from the rest of the movie for yeah. me. Cause I think it's just a really sweet movie. And again, this is a James Newton Howard score. Fucking stellar ass score. This is some great music in this movie. Awesome. Do you guys remember the music?
No.
Oh. No. I haven't seen this movie since like 2010 or something.
Yeah, it would have been, I think it was longer for me. I want to say high school.
Do yourself a favor and just YouTube the opening credits of Signs, because it's kind of
bop.
It's Hitchcockian, where they play, like they show the opening credits is just the credits for the movie, but set yeah. to like tension music, kind of like how Hitchcock used to do in all his films. But it's essentially the Signs theme played for like 3 minutes, and it's fucking fire. It's like, ooh, I'm tense, I'm hyped, I'm ooh. Ready to go.
You had to shake it off there, Steve. Just thinking about it.
Chris, I'm going to let you say your number one, and then I can tell you guys a little scary story.
Well, I want to spend 1 second going through some things that I'm shocked you guys didn't say. A couple of, I think it might be cute and fun. Before I say my number one is so obvious it's dumb. I literally couldn't lie. So
there's so many that these have been super obvious. I knew Steve was going to say Signs, but that was the only one where I was like,
I'm shocked.
Definitely going
to
be a thing.
Both of these, I thought Steve was going to be the one to say Galaxy Quest.
It's on my list of mentionables. Yeah. Galaxy Quest.
I'm also surprised you didn't say Mars Attacks.
Yeah. I thought of that one.
You're a kooky guy.
I'm not a huge fan of Mars Attacks, actually.
Really?
I mean, it's fun, but it's not a movie I go back and watch again because it's a little too outside my
purview.
Rat, 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 rat.
The Thing, I guess we couldn't mention just because we did so much coverage on The Thing. Yeah.
But The Thing is fire.
I also expected Steve to say Super 8.
Super 8 is good.
I didn't think about that.
You're a big JJ boy.
I tried to watch that the other day and my streaming thing broke and I just went to bed instead. But I love that movie.
That is a good movie.
I'm surprised. Two that I expected Andy to pull out of his hat are Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes. Although the movie's okay. The books are
true.
It's amazing.
You're more akin to the movie. What's the word? It's very... doesn't matter. You like the movie more.
Partial to the books.
Yeah, partial. You're more partial to the books.
This guy keeps saying you like the movie so much.
And then The World's
End. And he's like, no, the book.
The World's End.
The World's End.
That's a real... Oh my God, I didn't think about that.
For some reason, I can't love that movie because I'm such a huge fan of the Cornetto trilogy. And many, many smart people have said that The World's End is his magnum opus. And it's the one I like.
Oh, really?
It's the one I like by far the least.
Same. Yeah.
I've even watched like Mikey Newman do 20-minute long videos explaining why it's the most genius. And at the end, I'm like a guy on the internet in my comment section, like, disagree.
Mid.
Big L. Big L there, Mikey.
It's so intricate, meticulously designed that like all of his movies, you catch things that you didn't see the first time around. But that movie, you'll do it for a fucking century. There's so many layers to it. It's beautiful.
And then there's another one I really wanted you to say, but I didn't have the balls either. Was Starship Troopers.
Oh, yeah. So they're just bugs, so I don't really think of them as aliens, but yeah, they are.
The only
aliens.
Good bug is a dead bug.
I love that movie so much.
I adore that
it's
movie.
It's Afraid.
Yeah. One of my biggest adolescent crushes was Denise Richards. So I watched this movie a ton.
That'll be it. One of my biggest crushes was Casper Van Diem. So yeah,
for sure. Understood. But, my number one,
wait, hold on. There's some other ones I feel like we got to shout out.
Okay.
Cause I thought you were going to go through them all, but you missed some that I would have said, but there's District 9.
District 9 is on my list. I thought Andy might pull that one out too.
That was the one that almost made it onto my number three.
Yes. That never even occurred to me.
Yes.
Men in Black, of course, we talked about briefly.
Yeah. Men in Black, Alien and Aliens, duh. Yeah. Those are classics.
That
you know?
Fruit's too low.
That fruit is, it fruit doth land too low. Annihilation, I think, is a wonderful, we talked about.
I really need to revisit that, man. It was just so not Ex Machina when it came out. Mm-hmm. And
I've got it in 4K and I plan on a rewatch very, very soon. I think that's a movie that's going to be like a cult classic in like 20 years. Like, this is his best ever. And
it's definitely not a movie for everybody because it's like very high concept. And
you like the mirror guy dance at the end lost me, but I really...
Oh, I find that scene so haunting.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's captivating, but I was just like, after the you know, bear juxtaposed scene. With the bear, I'm like, okay.
The bear scene is the scene.
Close Encounters?
I don't remember.
I love Close... Well, actually, I don't really love Close Encounters because the main character is not a good person, but it's a great alien movie.
Contact?
Yeah. I like Contact.
I haven't seen this since I was a kid, but I think I would have appreciated it more as an adult.
Attack the Block is awesome.
Yeah, that's an amazing movie.
Never seen that.
Oh, really you would love it.
Yeah.
John Boyega before Star Wars fighting weird glow.
Dude, that John Boyega trailer we saw blew my mind.
I know, I didn't even recognize
it. Unrecognizable.
The first half of War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise is great.
There's some really good.
It's a really good movie.
There's some good sequences in it, like phenomenal. Like the Tim Robbins sequence.
I don't like the ending of it, but the first scene where it rises out of the ground and it starts the attack is like, honest to God, amazing. There's a movie, The Blob. Do you guys remember The Blob from the 80s specifically?
The remake of The Blob?
Yeah. No. Awesome horror film. It breaks the golden rule of horror film where you kill a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's not great. It's quite awful. But it's got great practical effects and gore. If you're into that kind of stuff, it's really cool. And then the last Predator, I don't know if you count that one. But
oh, for sure.
Great.
He's an alien.
And I want to shout out a movie called Fire in the Sky, which
I've seen that one.
I did not keep it on the list, but I wanted to talk about it.
I wonder if I saw that as a kid and don't recognize the title.
It's about a guy who gets abducted. And like he's hanging out with friends, but he gets abducted while his friends are out. And then he goes missing for a day and shows back up. And so he doesn't know what happens to him, but it's like, they kind of leave it in mystery. Like, did he get abducted by aliens or did he just get lost in the woods? It's like this weird thing. And the press starts kind of making fun of him because it's like, can you believe this guy thinks he got abducted by aliens? What an idiot. But then
I did watch this.
They
movie
do a flashback and they show you what actually happened to him. And he did get abducted to him. And the scene where the aliens are like experimenting on him is legit terrifying and really scary. And I remember watching this movie because someone's like, oh, you find aliens scary. This movie's going to fuck you up. And literally, like, if it's an hour and a half long, if it's a 90-minute movie, 80 minutes of it is just a guy, like, walking around with his friends talking about, well, did I get abducted? I don't know. And then 10 minutes of it is, like, abject terror. So you're waiting the whole movie, like, where's the aliens? And, oh, shit, there they are. Oh, they're gone. So, yeah, that's Fire in the Sky if you have an interest in any of that.
We didn't mention Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
We did not mention that. And
oh my goodness.
We are all the more worse for it.
That's it, guys. Throw in your film review badges.
Under the Skin.
Yeah.
ScarJo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's.
I haven't seen that.
So influential for our bread and butter, Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's going to be on HBO Max in August. They got like 28 A24 films dropping. So that's cool.
Oh, I can finally see that movie.
Cheap to say, but like Guardians of the Galaxy or The Suicide Squad, you know, like.
A lot of those movies came up on like top lists, and Steve and I voted, nah. Yeah. Didn't count. The Faculty.
Dude,
oh, what wow.
Holy Josh shit. Hartnett. Yes. I love that movie when I was a kid. I love that
movie too.
And then, of course, I don't think anybody's going to mention this one. I wrote it down. Species.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Remember Species.
Isn't that like Forrest Whitaker?
Forrest Whitaker, Natasha Hestridge. Is that
her
name?
First movie?
And then Doc Ock's in that as well.
Oh, That's who it was.
Sam Molina.
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina. Oh. Who's Sam?
I don't know.
Who the fuck is Sam?
You fucking made that up.
Alfred Molina.
He's in...
I was just like, Sam Molina.
Indiana Jones. He's in Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's, that's the person I was trying to think of.
Throw me the whip.
Yeah.
I give you the idol. Throw me the whip.
He was such an asshole in that movie. So my number one, like Andy pointed out, is a super low hanging fruit. It's Alien from 1979.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I went on this long tangent, because I was embarrassed at how obvious it was. But if I'm being honest, and I never lie, Alien,
friends don't do that,
from 1979 is one of the best movies ever made. I think it is perfect. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's ballsy. Mm-hmm. It's the second movie of my three that has Ian Holm in it.
Yep.
Which is no accident, because the man's a damn genius.
Ash is a robot.
It's, of course, Sigourney Weaver, John Hurt, Tom Skerritt. Oh,
yeah, John Hurt.
Harry Dean Stanton, which is always, he's always a creepy motherfucker in the 80s movies. I adore this movie. I think it's terrifying. Aliens is awesome. And I'm one of the few people that I know that actually really enjoyed Prometheus and Covenant for different reasons. Mm. But the original, the original Alien is by far the best. It's not even close. I love it to death. And even though its name is I wish it wasn't called Alien. I could have pulled it, you know, it would have been more surprising on this list.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can't leave this off, even if I'm being coy and I want to say species or
Liberty
something.
Gibbets.
Liberty Gibbets.
I think the movie's phenomenal. I love it. I love it to death.
It's beautiful. And like, it's John Hurt, right? That gets the face hugger.
Yeah.
And he's just laying in that like quarantine zone for so long. And it's such a haunting, awesome shot of him just alone in that white room. God, it's so good.
Yeah. Yep. So well done. So that's my number one. Steve, what were you hanging back there? You wanted to get back to something.
Yeah. So my fear of aliens has a third part to the story.
Oh, okay.
So in the
trilogy,
it is a trilogy.
And this is the Return of the King.
Yeah.
This might be Aliens 3.
I've talked about where my phobia came from. I talked about the movie that heightened that phobia. And I'm going to talk to you about the climax of my adventure with my alien phobia. In the summer of our Lord's year 2013, I was that was like the height of the aliens guy, you know, the historic aliens on ancient aliens. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this show. So I was like binging it, right? Because it's one of those topics where I would always like see these like cheesy shows. I even talked about The Unexplained, Across Extremes. Those type of shows are kind of fun. So I'm watching this show about aliens and I'm like, wow, this is kind of interesting and neat. I don't think any of this is true, but this is kind of a really neat take. And I'm fascinated by the thought process. Right. But I'm still kind of scared. Right. Cause of my phobia. Like it's kind of like when people watch horror films. Right. So what proceeds to happen, and I'm 100% sure this is exactly what happened, was that I have sleep paralysis. I suffer from sleep paralysis, but for some reason this summer was the worst summer I've ever had with sleep paralysis at all. How that manifested to me was a series of aliens visitings. The first one, I was sitting in my bed and alien, like sign-sized alien, appeared at the foot of my bed and I could not move, and it was horrifying, and I'm literally crying like tears of fear because I don't know what to do. And in my mind, it like grabs my foot and pulls me out of the bed. And I lived in the basement of my mom's house at the time, and pulls me up the stairs, right? And then that's where like I wake up, and that's where the dream ends, right? And it was the most horrifying.
You were still in your bed when you woke up?
Yeah, I'm still in my bed when I woke up. And it was, at the time, the most horrifying experience I've ever had in my life. Like I would legit, like shaking, scared, like did not know what to do. Fast forward to a week later, I'm having sleep paralysis yet again, but it's daytime. Cause you know have you guys ever had sleep paralysis before?
I think once.
So like, you know what it feels like where you're fully cognizant, but you cannot move, right?
Yeah. Someone explained it to me, like the science behind it. So your brain secretes your brain secretes a chemical, you know, like some kind of neural thing that keeps you from moving in your sleep, because you're going to be having dreams. They don't want you, you know, you're evolutionarily, you don't want to be running around and shit when you're dreaming, like dog, you know, dogs do that. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a natural thing that happens to keep you from moving while you're doing jumping off out of planes with Tom Cruise and stuff, or maybe you're with Harrison Ford in your dream and you're like, be gentle with me. That's a joke that they don't get unless they listen to the Patreon. So what happens to people with sleep paralysis is that like secretes it at the wrong time while you're awake. Mm-hmm. And so you're awake, but it's still in the thing where you can't move, and it's right. Craziness. But anyway,
and oftentimes that allows people to see visions, and mm-hmm. People have seen, like, there are definitely characters. Like, there's a great documentary on sleep paralysis. I can't remember the name of it, but there's like a cast of sleep paralysis characters that people often see. So if you meet someone who has it, they can point to, like, do you see the tall man?
Oh yeah, you told, like, me about, oh yeah, this.
Tall man. I see tall man too.
Yeah.
I watched this. It's called The Nightmare.
Yes.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating doc. I almost suggest you don't watch it because you're almost guaranteed to have sleep paralysis afterwards. Because someone explained to me, like, if you don't know what sleep paralysis is, you've never heard of it, you'll never have it. But as soon as you learn about it, you're like more likely to have it affect you in your life.
It did not give me sleep paralysis, but it is so interesting to mm-hmm. to think that there's like, you, genres of sleep paralysis, you know, like you said, like, oh, you get the tall man, oh, I get the clown, you know. Yeah. What I mean, like, it's, that's so fucking weird to me,
like tarot cards.
Yeah. And so, like, the second time it happened to me, it's, I'm in my bed, I can't move, I can tell it's morning though, and my room at the time, I was in a bed in the corner of the room. If you got out of the bed and you walked like away from the bed, you would walk over a tile and then go to a door that led outside, because it was like a basement, but it like led outside. And I was sleeping with my back to the door, but I'm awake. I can tell it's morning, but I can't move. So I'm like, oh, okay, let me just kind of wait this out. Cause that happens fairly often. I'll wake up and not be able to move. And, you know, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna wait till I can start moving my fingers. Right. Well, all of a sudden I hear what sounds like bare feet slapping on the tile, like,
oh, like, God.
Running from the door right up to my bed where I am, and I hear something just breathing violently or aggressively right next to my ear, like, like that. And I can't move. And it was, honest to God, awful and terrifying. And it, I cannot, horrible, do any. And again, this isn't the thing where
that,
like,
freaked me out listening to
I'm
that.
Waking up, you know, I'm not waking up later. Like, I literally like sat there in fear listening to this. Slowly I can start moving my finger. Slowly I can start moving my mouth. I'm trying to scream for help because I feel like someone's right behind me. So my mouth is moving, but like nothing's, like,
I hate that feeling. That's
like, I'm doing that.
It's like proprioception or something, like the real sixth sense. But when you can feel someone behind you, mm-hmm. like really close. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that is, I didn't like that story, Steve.
I'm sorry. I didn't either. but eventually I got to be able to move, and I turn, and obviously nothing's there, right?
At what point does the sound go away, though? Because you said, like, it's breathing in your ear.
It went away after about, like, 15 seconds.
Okay.
Like, it started breathing, like, it was very aggressive and loud, and after 15 seconds, it stopped. But again, like, I don't know if it's just still there, and I'm still freaked out. Fast forward to a month later, right?
Oh, there's a third.
There's a third.
There's a trilogy within the trilogy.
And this is the weirdest one by far.
You had sex with it.
Yeah. No, so this one, I legit wake up. I get out of bed. I go through my morning routine. You know, brush my teeth, take a shower, get dressed, all that stuff. Yep. And I go upstairs, I go outside, I go to my car, I go to unlock the door of my car, I open it up, and then, like, from my door, a little gray alien, like a tall boy,
it's a 40-ounce
crack of beer, stands up by the foot of my car and, like, gets in my, like, face. So, like, I open up the driver door, and then it stands up on the other side of the door looking, yeah, at me through the window. And I'm back in bed. I haven't gotten ready. Apparently that was all just a part of a real dream that I, like, legit just, like, shuffled through my daily routine of bullshit. And then I'm back in bed, like they do in movies, right?
Yeah.
Only time in my life to this day that's ever happened to me. And again, I can go through life and be like, oh, that was my sleep paralysis or some weird sleep dream that happened. That gives me comfort. But that documentary that we mentioned, like, everyone's like, oh, you see tall man? I do typically see tall man on normal sleep paralysis. I did not see tall man during these incidents, they were very clearly alien incidents, and they only happened over the course of like 2 months, one summer. And it freaks me the fuck out. Because again, rational me is like, that wasn't anything.
What if there was two months where Steve was haunted by real aliens?
Yeah. Yeah, there's that small part in your brain that's like, Marvel's What If?
Jeffrey Wright narrating?
Yeah, he's like, join me as these aliens butt fuck Steve.
Oh man, they're clapping my cheeks. I can't move.
This week they're just gonna run up to his bed and breathe really heavily. It's weird. I don't get it.
Dude, Tall Man sounds so much scarier to me than the aliens, but I mean, I guess if you have already an established phobia.
Then... Well, Tall Man, when I do see Tall Man, he's just standing there. He doesn't do anything.
He's pretty cool for real.
He's pretty, I mean, it's happened.
What's up, dude? You stuck there?
Yeah.
It's, move.
Sucks.
It's happened so often in my life that when I see Tall Man, I'm not scared because I'm like, oh, he's just going to stand there and stare at me and he's going to voyeur me, you know?
He's voyeuring me.
Like, let him do his thing, you know? He ain't hurt
What if
nobody.
Somebody's sleep paralysis was just like Argyle and they couldn't move and he was like, what's up, Ruchachos?
That voice is just talking to you the whole time.
What's up, my dude? Move, man. Hey, man.
Maybe if you like think really hard, you can make move a pinky, my dude.
He's just whispering in your ear. What if Nina's like a little girl, man?
Man, you just gotta move a little bit.
You ever put pineapple? Try before you deny.
It looks like you took some of the good stuff before going to bed.
Dude, sleep paralysis sounds terrifying.
I only had it once, but Steve freaked me the fuck out in his sequel. Number two.
Yeah.
Because I have this sleepy thing, and this isn't a sleep episode.
Wait, but so it was number three, part two, right?
Yeah, it was the second part of his third story when he was talking about the running on the tile. First, it was just a well-told story, but I have this thing, and maybe someone out there can help me. I don't even know what it is, but it's that where you can feel someone behind you and like the hair on your neck stands up, and it's always when I'm almost asleep and I get that feeling, but it's overwhelming, like someone is right up against you, you know what I mean, kind of thing, breathing on the back of your neck, and I like my spine just shoots straight, and like it's a terrible feeling because I'm almost asleep to like high adrenaline like that, and so the juxtaposition of those two things is a miserable feeling. And it just happens out of nowhere. And what's negative about it is, you know, I've been in a committed relationship since I was 15 with different people, but like always someone in the bed with me. And so normally I'm like very mean. I'm not saying that to be funny. Like it's a terrible thing. You know what I mean? But it's like get the fuck away from me. Like, cause it's like something's about to hurt me. Insane adrenaline rush thing.
Yeah.
And they're asleep, like nowhere near me. And like, what? And I'm usually still quite angry because that was a terrible feeling to feel. And I haven't done it in a long time, but it's terrible. And that's what you made me feel when you told that story, was that like shivery spine thing that I get while I'm sleeping for no reason. But yeah,
it's so weird. I get exploding head syndrome. That's the closest I got to it.
What's explody heads do?
You're starting to fall asleep and all of a sudden there's a really loud bang just in your head.
Oh, I've had one of those.
Yeah, I get them all the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've had that once or twice.
I get it like every couple of weeks.
Really?
And sometimes it's less of there's another term that people use for it. Cause usually it's a bang, but a lot of times it's also like a zap. And so it feels like an electric shock just went through your head and like to the point like your eyes are closed and like all of a sudden you see like static, like it's black and white lines running across your vision behind your eyelids.
Brains are weird.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. But yeah, I've had that most of my life and it sucks just because like what you're describing where it's you go from 0 to 100 real fucking quick.
Yeah.
But like, it's never a fear. It's just, I mean, it's fear for like that split second when it happens.
Like a primordial fear. Not
exactly. There's no like actual terror. It's just like, what the fuck? Oh God. Again,
I typically don't dream at all. Like I fall instantly asleep. I wake up without an alarm. But every now and then, and since I'm a recovered addict, most of my nightmares involve using. And which is really rare, but like, and it's bizarre when it happens. I would have I haven't used drugs or drank a drop of alcohol in over a decade, but even to this day, like every now and then, like maybe once a year, I'll have a vivid dream of like injecting heroin or something, like doing the whole ritual I used to do, like with the spoon and the cotton and the cooking and all that stuff. And then, but it'll be like in the current timeline where I'm like, I'm hiding it from my wife and I have to tell my sponsor, or like I'm about to quit my job and I just feel like mortified, like I've relapsed. It's, you know, I'm about to lose everything I have. And it's the bizarre feeling of when I wake up, it's like I stand up, I grab my phone and I'm still mortified. Like I have to tell everybody. And it takes me probably just a couple of minutes, but it feels like forever in real life to realize
logic sticks around.
Yeah. And then I remember I didn't actually do that. That was a dream. And it's like this bizarre, like huge relief. Like, oh, thank God. You know what I mean? It's just so weird. It's like, you had a fucking dream, idiot. But like, I'm getting my socks out of my drawer. Like they're going to be so mad. but anyway,
in a similar vein, Chris, when I have a nightmare, it's usually because I didn't fill up someone's popcorn because I'm working at the movie theater again. And then I wake up and like, ah, oh, that person didn't exist. So it's like similar things.
Yeah, exactly.
Your issue and then the popcorn issue over here.
100% fidelity. Well, let's read our Mad Lib. Let's cheer everybody back up with a little bit of Mad Libs. I'm sorry we didn't have any
philosophy.
We needed some Rad Libs, but.
But we got the mad ones.
We're saving that for special occasions.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, Annie whips those out only on the good times. Only for the good
potatoes.
Shows.
Potatoes. Wait, that's also from the Patreon. Sorry. That makes no sense.
Hang on to those potatoes. All right. Are you guys ready to hear the story you helped create called Cool Whips?
I am.
Here we go. Ever since I was a little karate, I've loved cars. When I was 3 years old, I wanted to cruise around in the Aardvark Mobile, just like Cameron Diaz.
That's what cool whips means. They're like whips, like my whip, my car.
Instead, I rode my parents' Chrysler Mini Punch Buggy with beer panel doors.
Nice.
Now that I have my driver's daffodil, I'm going to buy myself a red train like Magnum PW. Or perhaps a luxury... Or perhaps a luxury carcinogen. That does actually sound like a fucked up car name.
Ford carcinogen.
I plan to
test... Fuck the ozone.
Fuck
the ozone. That's their tagline.
The Carbon Master 5000.
I plan to test inoculate a few Porsches and maybe a Pontiac Fire Kangaroo. I want my new car to be like Kit from Interloper Rider. Mixed with the van from the A Persecution.
Oh, no.
Oh, that. I don't like that. My dad says I can only afford a plump Ford Escort. My friends think I'm as dumb as a philosophy for dreaming of a Camaro. But I know that one day I'll be behind the tater of the car of my dreams.
What's taters?
Until then, I'll drive my grandpa's hot air balloon, which is an awesome Yugo. And thus concludes Cool Whips.
I think that was one of our worst ones ever, as maybe. Far as like making sense.
Yeah,
except for would. Behind the tater of the car in front of me. That was awesome. <style. laughs>
That was a car wreck, if you will.
Ooh, ba-dum-tsh. Well, I appreciate you guys for tuning in to our love of alien films in honor of our review of Nope. There's going to be more aliens soon because I think in early August, maybe August 5th or so, we get the drop of Prey, the new movie that is going to be a prequel to the Predator series. That looks amazing. Directed by 10 Cloverfield Lane, Dan Trachtenberg. And hell, we're going to be yeah. covering that. Cannot so we're going to watch Predator that. In advance of that, just to kind of celebrate where it all started. And I'm really excited because I haven't gotten to revisit Predator in a long, long time.
Predator's so good.
Wasn't there one that came out like last year or the year before that was like super trash?
I didn't watch it, but yes.
Andy, no.
Not a thing.
Andy, no.
We're going to watch the original, damn it. But yeah, so don't forget to write into the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com with different Patreon tier ideas or any, you know, movies you want us to cover, things like that. We'll add them to the master list for our Patreon polls. And don't forget to sign up and follow me on Q so you can be entered to win. Don't forget to email subject line Q. Q-U-E-U-E.
You don't want to be anonymous for this show.
One star. That's all the time we have for right now. We love you all so much. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things.
Streaming.
Happy streaming. Welcome to the Patron Shoutout Special Event. Coming in hot, we have A. Wells, Double A, Aaron A, Double R, Aaron A, Aaron B, Aaron K, Aaron L, Adam C, Adam R. Adam R, are you going to the mall today? Amanda, Amelia, Andrew G,
yes,
Andrew P,
my dudes,
Andy, but not the Andy on the show,
super dude,
Danny H,
we will probably
Arcade Shenanigans,
take us to your
Ariana, party. Could be Ariana. I found out in college that makes a huge difference to people with that name, so
just Grande,
throwing that out there,
Grande, Binti.
Ashley, Brandon, Brianna, Brenda,
let's go, Brandon.
Brittany, Cake.
Thank you, Cake.
Caleb, Carlo, Carmelita, KCH, KCM, Katarina, Chloe, Cindy, Cody, Damien, Danielle, David, DC Hart,
oh, we're still on the
E. Piece. Lopez, Emily, Enza, Erica, Irvin, Gavin, Glenn, Gavin. Hannah, Heath, Irene, Jacqueline, Jacob, Jade, Jake, Jared, Jeanette, AJ, Jenny, Jennifer, Jessica, Jimmy, Joel A, Joel D, the two John M's,
both of them,
John R, Jordan, Josh,
are
Jungle,
you going to the mall today?
Jay Nicolage, Kalisha, Candace,
Kalisha.
Kate, Katharina, Katie B, Katie M, Kayla, Kelsey, Carrie, Kevin, Kiki, Kimberly, Kristen, Kyle, Lady Pris, Lauren, Lee, Lisa, Marcelina, Marcus, Maria, Matt, Melina, Melissa, Mels, Michael, Michelle, Mike, Mindy, MJ, Monique, Nick, the two Nicole C's, Orion, Paula, Phil, Patty, Rachel, Reese, the Reed family.
All of them.
Rose, Ryan, Samantha, Sandra, Sandra A, Sarah F, Sarah P, Savannah, Sean, Sergio, Shay, Stephanie, Stephen V, Sydney, Tamara, Tara, Thomas J, Thomas V, Thumbs, Toby, Tori, Thumbs. Tyler, Will, Yolanda, and Zach. Thank you all so much. We love you. Good night.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.